Just a quick heads up, look at your bulletin, folks. We have a little slightly different order of worship. You'll need to be aware of that. The choir is already up, a little different this morning. Just be aware, be a couple things changed. You'll receive the announcements in just a little bit. Now is the time for the announcements. I'll have to get used to this myself. Folks, it's good to welcome you to worship today on a beautiful Sunday morning where the sun is shining through our stained glass window. So if you want to peek around a time or two to see that stained glass window, it's one of the beautiful features we have here in our facility. I'd like to thank our Facebook followers for watching either live or later, whatever the case is. We welcome you all to worship today. Some reminders One is, I'm going to be away for most of the week. You probably saw or heard that I was planning on taking a snowmobiling trip. My wife has said, you're going to go play, right? Well, the snow conditions, as you know, have not been really good for snowmobiling, and so there's been quite a change in plans. But this afternoon, my friend Jerry, who you'll hear from a little bit later, and I are leaving from the Lansing Airport. We're going down to Melbourne, Florida, and I will be involved in a painting project down there, okay? So now you know that I'm going to be working rather than just playing. But I will return for the Saturday supper, which will happen this week, as usual, second Saturday. And then I'll be returning again for next Sunday. And the next two Sundays, the 13th and 20th of January, will be membership class, which will meet in the pastor's study at noon. Okay, there are several who have indicated their interest. We want to make sure that everyone knows what it means to be a member of Christ Church, as well as the Mayflower Congregational Church. And so if you have any interest at all, or would just like to sit in on it or have a refresher course, you're welcome to join us for the next 2 weeks. Then membership Sunday will be on the 27th, and that will be followed by our annual congregational meeting. We will also observe a necrology that day, which means we mention those that have passed on this last year. And finally, next Sunday, today is Epiphany, as well as the Lord's Table, Communion. And then next Sunday is Baptism Sunday, and we always want to give anyone an opportunity who has never been baptized, that if you'd like to have that opportunity either next Sunday or at some time in the future, feel free to talk to me. So, again, and I'll remind myself to be aware. Sue Mott has an announcement.
Well, you heard Pastor Mark talk about next Saturday is the chicken dinner, and I will remind all of you that I'll be getting in touch with our regular helpers. But any of the rest of you who haven't had a chance to help us with the chicken dinner, there's many opportunities to do different things. So if you think that you would like to participate in that, please let me know. Now, the real reason I'm up here is to talk about the flower chart. The brand new flower chart is up for this coming year, and it's really empty. So I'm encouraging any of you who haven't in the past thought to donate flowers to do that. And it's simply a matter of choosing a particular week that is special to you, and you can either have me order the flowers for you at a price of $30, or you can choose your own flowers and bring them in. And whichever way you do, then you take the flowers home after the Sunday service. So I'm encouraging people to start signing up so we get that list filled up. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Just a quick reminder for anybody who is a visitor or might not know, our communion is open, as always, here at Mayflower and in the congregational tradition, which means if you have a lot of faith or little faith, or have none and you'd like some, the table is open to everyone today, later in the service. Let us now continue worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. The nights have been long and the days have been very short lately, but wait.
What should we be waiting for?
For something to happen that is unexpected and quite surprising.
Okay, our curiosity is piqued. What is it?
A star beyond our wildest imaginations.
Where are we going to see this bright star.
We just need to be looking.
Lord,
help us to see the light today by looking ahead, looking around, and looking up, for the light of Christ is everywhere. Okay, please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we admit that with long nights, cloudy days, and cold temperatures, it is sometimes difficult to see any light. So give us the gift of our eyes to see, for it is in the light that we have hope, and it is in the light that our fears are diminished. Help us to know that in the search for light, it will lead us to you. It may only begin with a glimmer, but as we worship today, may it shine with a brilliance which can be God. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. On page 535, you'll find our Old Testament reading in the Pew Bible. It is found, the first reading is found on Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you. And his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multiple of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Did it occur to you as she read that animals are included in the kingdom of God? Did you ever hope to see your pet in the great beyond? Well, maybe so. Maybe so. Come on up here, Jerry. This is my buddy. He's my friend. I met Jerry when we were just teenagers in high school. Jerry showed up at my dad's church shortly after Jerry had lost his father to cancer. And it wasn't very long till Jerry and I became best friends, and so we've known each other for a long time, Jerry. I hope it's not too long for you. But a number of years ago, and Jerry will share a little bit about it, he founded a mission down in Mexico. And Jerry and I had not had a lot of contact for a number of years, just a telephone call every now and then. But that mission is what allowed Jerry and I to reestablish our friendship. Also in mission, a place where I've been 9 times, and we have been wanting an opportunity to share a little more about that Mexican mission, and Jerry's here to do it. So Jerry, I'm going to turn the microphone on. It's all yours, and this is there's nothing scary out here, okay?
Okay. I think what might be scary is this on, okay, is that I'm sure Mark is here with great fear and intrepidation this morning, not knowing what exactly I'll review about him in our past growing up as teenagers. But Mark has great faith in me not to elaborate on those years, I'm sure. But I do want to share with you a little bit about Juarez, Mexico. It's a ministry that I started back about 20 years ago. We first started taking teams down from our church. I live in Springfield, Illinois. And we started taking teams down twice a year, building homes with Casas Per Cristo. And it wasn't long before we started doing that, as we were doing that I realized that we could take this to a much deeper level. And a few years later, I founded our own ministry, Amigos in Cristo, which allowed us to do other things other than just build homes. We were able to bring medical teams down to do ministry. We were able to do VBS and work with children. And then when we started our own ministry, it allowed us to go outside our local church and incorporate other churches into the program. And with that, we started an after-school program. And we also started a program to help adults learn a vocation. And we also started things like parenting for parents and working with individuals to help improve their lives. So we have basically a three-legged stool. One is that we work with after-school children. Two is we work with adults and helping them in their parenting, adult education. And then the third is we work with churches and individuals who come down to Juarez, Mexico, to learn how to grow themselves more in a depth of spirituality and of giving. And a lot of times that will come back to the local church. But the main emphasis of our ministry is really with the children. We run 2 community centers, fairly close together, but maybe about 10, 15 minutes apart. Each community center has 50 children in it. Every morning we bus children to local schools, and then we also take some of the children, older kids, to the border, and they walk across the border to a private school in El Paso, a couple of schools actually in El Paso, Christian schools there. And then afterwards, schools in Mexico get out about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then we pick them back up and we bring them back to the community centers and we feed them a lunch and then we help them with homework and we allow them to play. And you might ask, how did we get started with that? When we first started with the ministry, we went to local individuals, pastors, medical doctor, and we asked, what's the need in the community? And every one of them came back and said, we need after-school programming. Because a lot of the kids, if they're not involved, both of parents, if they have two parents, are working, or if there's just one parent, they're working, kids are home alone, easy for them to get involved in drugs and gang activity, and it helps with our ministry, helps keep the kids off the street. And so it's been a great program. We have a staff of about 20 people. We have a full-time pastor, by vocation pastor, who is our key person there, Misael, and his wife Doris. Doris is a medical doctor. So we have a good footing there as far as staffing and volunteers, and it's just been a great ministry to be involved with, and love to have you all come on down and see us sometime.
And I plan on taking you somewhere down there. We'll talk a little more about that. So Jerry, I want to ask a couple questions for those of us that don't know Spanish. What does Amigos in Cristo mean?
Amigos in Cristo, good question. Friends in Christ.
All right, pretty simple. And this is something we might work on together here, but with the combined area of El Paso and across the river to Juarez, what roughly is the combined population of that area? Have an idea? I think I know, but maybe you know better.
I think in El Paso it's like 750,000, but Juarez, I mean, there's no secret there's been a drug war that's been taking place, and Juarez, when we started on our own ministry back in 2008, is really when the cartels really started with the drug war, and the population really diminished probably by a million people. So I think there's less than 2 million people in Juarez right now.
It is one of the largest metropolitan areas, and when you stand on a certain height back to the south of Juarez and you look out, you can see El Paso and Juarez. It looks like one city, with the exception of the very strong lights and border activity going down right the middle of those two. So what I would say is, a lot of people, when they hear Juarez, they know at one time, and it was when Jerry first started his ministry there, when it was the most dangerous city in the world. And yet there were oftentimes people from local churches that would go down 40 and 50 strong, and never once, Jerry, was there any incident. It was a relatively safe area. It's the most impoverished suburb of Juarez. It's called Anapra. It's a wonderful ministry, and you will be hearing more about it, and some of you will have the opportunity. Some have expressed their opportunity or their desire to go. So, and if you'd like to ask Jerry a few questions, he'll be hanging around a little bit before we have to take off for that brutal climate of Melbourne, Florida. So, so Jerry, thanks for coming today, and we're going to have a little bit of fun when we after we paint. We can maybe go bike riding or go out to eat somewhere, you think? Okay, good. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you.
On page 149 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you'll find today's second reading. It is found in Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
You will be hearing more in a few weeks about our financial report for the year of 2018. I want to say as pastor that when we sat down last meeting, Prudential Council, we paused for a moment and sang, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And that's because God works through God's people. And that means you. And we're poised for another good year, but in the end, we trust God for our resources. I was reminded today when I became aware that one person in our church, his income has been disrupted because of the furlough due to the standoff in Washington, D.C. And we are all reminded that we never know when financial difficulty may come in a way that it hasn't before. It also reminds us that we trust God and we depend on each other as we give and we share. Our ushers will now come forward.
Thank you.
Amen and wow. If you haven't been here before, you get it every Sunday, folks. Thank you, Sue Jen. It just keeps happening. Another thing that happens is thanking God. We do that through the doxology. It's number 563 in your hymnal. Would you stand, those that can? Please be seated. Just another reminder, I will give the pastoral prayer. At a certain juncture in that prayer, we'll pause, give each of you an opportunity to share a first name of someone you would like to remember in prayer. Then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer using the words debt and debtors. Let us pray. Lord, it's a little scary thing to pray for peace because we have no idea how it would happen that peace would come to this world. And yet, Lord, we are constrained and compelled to know that it is only us that can make a difference as agents of God's peace. And maybe so, even as we think and pray about the most perplexing problems in the world, none the least of would be the political divide in our own country that has caused hundreds of thousands of people to be uncertain about their futures, their jobs, even their ability to buy groceries this week. So whoever they are, wherever they are, we pray, Lord, for peace. And we pray boldly that you would help us to be agents of peace, not only in the entire world, but in our worlds, knowing that the ripples of peace continue around the world. Let there be peace in our hearts, for it begins, as we know, with us. And now we pray for the needs of our local congregation, and I lift up Liz and Kathy and Dick and others who are in rehab today. Those that are homebound who wish they could be here, others that are traveling and whose hearts are here, and many other needs and people, some of whom we mention right now. Lord, you've heard those names, and you know who those people are. And so we pray that you would answer prayer in each of these situations, even as we lift our own needs to you just now. Thank you for helping us in the mystery of prayer and teaching us the one that we share together just now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Gospel reading is found on page 1 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible. It is Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent to them in Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left on their own country by another road.
Let's pray. Lord, reveal yourself to us and in us today. In Christ's name, amen. Some of you were able to be, I should say, I look this way. You were able to be at the party we had at Barb and Jerry's on Friday night. And if you weren't there, we had quite a party. Wasn't it? It was quite a party. And I mentioned to someone there that, I don't know how this came about, but I think we were talking about children, adult children. And I remember about 33 years ago on Palm Sunday when my youngest son was born. And I had a sermon all ready to go. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, and the symbolic alarm went off, and off to the hospital for the birth of my second son. And the sermon that day was a part of the Palm Sunday story, and as now, I was trying to find part of the story from a different perspective. And so the title is the message that I don't think I've ever really preached that day was, listen to this, Dinky Donkeys Deserve Dignity. Well, after I will have been here, hopefully, for a few years, it might be more difficult to find a little different part of the story that you might not have ever heard before. But the concentration this morning is on the Matthew passage regarding what we traditionally call the wise men, but correctly translated, they are known as magi. So here we go. I wasn't too bad at math and band in high school, but my best subjects were typically English and social studies. And in high school, I really enjoyed two electives that I took. They were current events and debate. However, I really did not do very well in science, at least in the attaining of a very good grade. It was not because I disliked the subject matter. Rather, it was not as important to my parents, whose academic backgrounds did not include much science beyond what was required study. And I have to admit, I didn't particularly like or do well in the laboratory. And I really struggled dissecting a fetal pig in ninth grade biology. Anybody ever do that? Well, good. Yes, there are others. I kind of murdered that thing and thought it was funny and unnecessary, and I let a few people around me know it. My biology teacher was also my basketball coach, and he made me run some extra laps that night. Well, I feel totally different now and very much interested in many different areas of science, even as other academic pursuits have superseded it, especially for what has been necessary for my career in ministry and the more leisurely pursuit of tour guiding for 18 years at Mount Rainier National Park. I greatly admired career scientists, and I was hoping they would be here today, but Dr. Bill and Dr. Rilla McCarris, who have dedicated a large portion of their careers here at MSU to the advancement of amazing scientific discovery and thought. Early in my schooling, however, there was a notable exception in my study of science. My eighth grade science teacher, Ms. Sally Merchant, for whom I had great respect and for whom I shall never forget, challenged the entire class. In fact, she forced us to do this, to do a star chart. Anybody ever done a star chart? Well, I had to. It was daunting at first, but I ventured out on a chilly October night, perfectly clear, in a field near our house, which was located in a place that you've probably never been to, but it's Sherwood, Michigan, all by myself. And then I looked up. What I saw amazed me and frightened me all at the same time. For when my gaze drifted northward, I saw some shimmering lights which appeared as various shades of green and blue. Because of how I was raised and what I had been taught, I thought the rapture or the second coming had just occurred and I had missed it. I did. Honest to goodness, folks. 14 years old, eighth grade. I ran to the house as fast as I could, and I can't remember if I was relieved or worried that my parents were still there and perhaps they had missed it too. And I thought everything was all wrong. But my father calmly went out with me to that field, and he told me that what we were seeing was in these latitudes the rare phenomena called the Northern Lights, which I now know to be the Aurora Borealis. He had never seen them before, but was very aware of what we were witnessing, both of us for the first time. And I was mesmerized. They lasted for a long time. Have you ever seen the Northern Lights? Yes. If Bill and Rilla were here, they could probably tell you they've seen it many times. I had just experienced my own epiphany. A couple of nights later, I went back out to that same field, and it was still clear and chilly, and I looked up again without the shimmering Northern Lights, and I saw stars, more than I had ever seen before. And I began to identify constellations like, and I still identify today, perhaps you know, Orion. Anybody know what Orion is also called? The Hunter. Heard that one? Okay, and he's got his belt. Ursa Major. Anybody know what that one is? We get out of part of that is what? All right, it's the Big Dipper, folks. And do you know the two stars ending in big and the end of the Big Dipper point right to what? The North Star. And Taurus, which is known as the Bull. Gemini, which of course is the Twins. Those five, by the way, are among several that can be seen prominently and often in the northern sky. Do you know how many constellations there are identified? 88 constellations, most of them discovered and named thousands of years ago, but officially by the Astronomical Union in 1928 or 29. Now, the Magi, which we often wed to the story of the birth narrative in Luke, perhaps sometimes mistakenly, that Luke passage is the swaddling clothes passage of the birth narrative, and as recorded only by one gospel, Matthew, which we read today, these gentlemen, or wise men as we call them, were stargazers. They were astrologers. And astrology, if you didn't know, is the belief that the alignment of the stars and planets affects every individual's mood, personality, environment, depending on when he or she was born. Do you know what your sign of the zodiac is? Of course you do. You know what I am? I'm a Sagittarius. And do you know how many of those there are? There are one for every 30 days or so, right? So there are 12, but there's one left out. It starts with an O. Anybody know which one that is? Well, anyway, you know what your sign is. And I don't know how many of you read your daily horoscope, but there is something called an ecliptic, which runs exactly along the middle of the zodiac. 12 constellations through which the elliptic passes form that zodiac. And ancient astrologers like these magi we read about today were able to figure out where the sun was on the zodiac by noting which constellation was the first to rise ahead of the sun and which one was the last one after the sun. And in all this calculation, they noticed something strange and unusual, a very bright light in the sky that they had identified as a star. Some astronomers have told us that a unique event happened around 6 of the Common Era, where Jupiter and Saturn lined up. But I think as we read this story, the story is presented as if something miraculous was happening. We don't know because we're not given very much, if any, historical detail. But they took special note of this star because that's what they did. They were stargazers. Just like when we do, when we see a bright light in the sky. Do you remember as a kid, or when we were younger, falling or a shooting star was the most amazing thing? Do you know what the typical size of a star, that a piece of material that falls? that creates that bright light, I was amazed that it's about the size of a quarter or just slightly larger. And when it's much bigger than that, it can do a lot of damage. Some of you may have been out in Arizona like I have to see a crater that is formed that's a mile wide, and they say it was a piece about like that that did it. Amazing. Well, when this thing happens, the 911 system goes crazy, as does social media these days. But the Magi had an epiphany. That's why we call it Epiphany Sunday. And this is the rare day where Epiphany Day happens on Epiphany Sunday, January 6th. And by the way, if you didn't know it, yesterday was the 12th day of Christmas. You were all aware of that, right? Some of you, as you took down your Christmas decorations that we saw the other night. Well, they had been given the gift of divine revelation in a way that most of us in the church think is a little odd, that we somehow might find truth and meaning in the stars. But it did none other than lead them to the Christ on an arduous 2-year journey fraught with all kinds of danger. And as I mentioned before, we are not told details. Very little of it reads like an actual historical account, although the writer connects it to known history in the interaction with Herod the Great, who was the Roman ruler of that day and time. Remember, Herod the Great was the ruler at the time Jesus was born, but it was his son, Herod Antipas, that was the ruler when Jesus was crucified. Now, the simplest thing for me as a Christian minister to say would be that a genuine search always leads to Christ. But I would like to draw a larger picture this morning. As Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is our greatest gift of divine revelation. Christ is the head of our church. But even as we bow, kneel, give gifts, and pay homage to our King, there are searches in our lives that go on. When we receive the communion elements today, we won't walk out of here as if every search in life is over, even though we acknowledge Christ as our King. We search for answers to life's most perplexing and vexing questions, like when will the stalemate in Washington end? We wonder why things happen when a loved one dies prematurely, or when an unexpected tragedy or illness occurs, or when we are faced with catastrophic financial setback. It isn't always our default system to say, oh, we know Christ, everything is going to be okay. Maybe it is when a cherished relationship comes to an unexpected end, or when our adult children severely disappoint us or even abandon us. We search for answers when we ourselves morally fail and cause mistrust among our family members and loved ones, or when we witness the moral failures of others whom we genuinely trusted and love. And I'm talking, I think, about common ground for all of us. Even as faith-filled Christians, we make well-intended statements in times of grief or sorrow, like everything happens for a reason, when someone else hears that as nothing more than, I'll never know what that reason is. Or when someone dies prematurely, they're in a better place, or God wanted them in the heavenly choir. When reality sets in, the sense of grief is excruciating, and those answers, like God has a wonderful plan for your life, is sincere and maybe have some element of truth, but they are desperately inadequate to answer the questions in our search. In just a few moments, we will take the opportunity to respond again to the invitation of Christ. And there's much mystery with this, even to exactly what it was that was happening in 3 of the 4 Gospels. It's not even mentioned in John. We don't do this very often here at Mayflower, but it is of no less importance. And as the Lord's Supper was instituted when Jesus sat at table with his disciples, it was in the middle of the greatest crisis, not only in his life, but in the lives of his dearest friends who betrayed him, denied him, and abandoned him right after they took the elements. All of them dead. But as we know from the events following his surprising reappearance after the resurrection, he didn't chide, scold, or lecture. He continued to love them and to give them hope that their search for love would not be in vain. It is the most challenging search for all of us, and it begins with the first time following our birth when our emotional needs go unmet. So even if you cannot get your mind around the love of Christ in a very visceral way, I want to assure all of us here today and I'm witness to this, that there's a lot of love in this room. We will represent that love of Christ to the best of our ability. For people like my wife and my friend Jerry, whom I've known since I was 16, both of whom know the very worst failures in my life. From those in this church who fought to keep the doors open when things look very bleak, and who know all the weaknesses, disappointments, and failures in life and each other, and yet we love and we care and we share together. And two scriptural reminders before we eat and drink, when he said, "The kingdom of God is within you, and the kingdom of God is at hand." And from the psalmist, that reflects back to that experience of the wise men. "When I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, who are we that you are mindful of us and care for us mortals? So what do I say? Look up, look around, look ahead. Let's eat." Amen.
That's okay.
Of confession. Here we go. Forgiving God, we come into your presence knowing we have fallen short of your desire for us. We have neglected the call and claim you have on our lives as individuals and as a community of faith. We ask for another chance to make all things new again, that we may better follow the way, the truth, and the life, in the name of your Son. Amen. We have this assurance that no matter how far we may wander from the way of life we are called to lead, we never move beyond the boundaries of God's love. We are loved, we are forgiven, and we are blessed. We hold the elements until everyone is served. So we'll, as we share the bread, just hold the bread, and then we'll partake together. The same will be true of the wine, the cup, and we'll ask our ushers to come forward and they will assist us. Just a reminder that we celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the Last Supper, even those who betrayed him and those who ran away. You need not be a member to participate, only feel moved by the Spirit. This is the special moment when we are all invited into the embrace of God through communion with His Son. This is the time when all the ways we have erred are swept aside and a fresh pathway is laid before us. So, come to this table of blessings, set aside all thoughts of past failures and disappointments. Offer up the dark places in your hearts and souls, different for each of us, and know that through this sacrament you are offered love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Know that God accepts you just where you are and who you are at this moment in life. And I say that with a smile on our faces. We are all at different places in life, but we all gather together, and the ground is level here today. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, Jesus sat at supper with his disciples. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take of this bread as often as you are able in remembrance of me. Ministering in his name, I offer you the bread of life, Jeannie.
Ministering in his name, I offer you the bread of life.
Let's eat together. After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant. And you offered love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Know that God accepts you just where you are and who you are at this moment in life. Remember, this is the cup of the new covenant in remembrance of Christ." Thank you.
Jeannie, ministering in his name, I offer you the cup of salvation and the new covenant. Folks, we drink together. And if you still have your hymnals open, there is a prayer of thanksgiving that we will share together. All right, together, embracing God, we thank you for granting us a fresh chance at life through this sacrament. Help us to truly sense the power of your presence, of your Son within us, that we may move forth to bring about your kingdom. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. When we share together and express our love to God, and our love to each other, it's cause for joy. And so as we move toward the close of this service, make sure that if you have a little joy in your heart, notify your face, and I'll leave you with this benediction. May the light and love of God be revealed in each of us through Christ. Amen.
Your turn, folks. Greet one another, and then hopefully join us in the back.